Sit back, relax, and let's travel to the lands between on our way to the Forbidden West, all for the car culture? Welcome to The Road to Greatness, our Patreon-exclusive show where we deep dive in games we've been playing and sometimes a game voted on by you, our community. I am your host, Kyle Stevenson, a.k.a. Mr. K-Sep, and as always, I'm joined on this never-ending road trip called life with Joseph Moran, a.k.a. Mr. Bad Bit. Tonight's destinations are Elden Ring, Horizon Forbidden West, and Gran Turismo 7. Joe, how you doing?
I'm really tired, and can I tell you why?
Yeah, go for it.
All right. Buckle up, kids. I have been transitioning out of one job while learning another job. Mm-hmm. So I'm working two jobs at the same time. That ends on Friday.
Good.
So I am just tired, and I want to preface something here, because I feel like I've seen a lot of posts, some of our mutual friends, I should have told you this before the show, talk about breaking into the industry, this, that, and the other thing. We have to stop romanticizing it. I think we romanticize it too much, and we forget it really is just a job, and there are going to be some aspects you like, and some aspects you don't like.
Sure.
And we gotta, because the thing is, a lot of these people know that, people want to work in the games industry, and they'll take advantage of that. Mm. And they will, not pay you right or not give you benefits or whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
Just because they know how bad you want this. But let me tell you something. What I've learned over the past few days is it's not about the industry you work in. I've worked in good jobs, bad jobs, and all in different industries. I think the only job that I've never worked in was food. You don't want me handling your food.
No, that's not true. You worked at the deli, right?
Oh yeah, I mean a waiter. Sorry.
Food service.
Yeah. You're right. Technically, but nonetheless, the thing that matters the most is not what industry you work in, not where you work, but the culture that is in the workplace. Because to me, if there is no culture, like car culture, why even be there? If your culture sucks, that sucks, right? It really comes down to who are your coworkers, who are the support system there, and who are the managers overseeing it at the end of the day. Because I see a lot of people going, well, what I would do. And I see a lot of positions that just, again, they know they could pay you more. Mm-hmm. And they absolutely take advantage of it. So I just wanted to put that out there because I've been seeing a lot of it. And I just got to say, everybody, don't worry. You don't have to work in the industry to be a part of the industry.
Sure.
I think we lose sight on that.
Yeah. I mean, to throw my two cents in, I would love, to me, it's, yes, you're 100% right. They're 100% right.
Yeah.
Can you tell I'm exhausted as well? I think the cool thing about it is just being in an industry, or the allure of being in an industry of something that I love so much.
Yeah.
So I know it's going to be a job. I know I'm not going to love everything, but overall I'm going to work to help what I love keep going, kind of thing. You know what I mean? I don't love glass and mirrors. Spoiler alert. That's what I'm working in an office doing now. And that's dragging me down a little bit. If I knew I was going to work to help move games industry a little bit further, it would ease the pain of the things I don't like at work.
I will tell you this. That's a double-edged sword. Because there will be things that you think there is no way that this is a positive outcome to this industry, and I'm helping it. And there was, again, I can't say anything because I'm still at one place and transitioning to the other. But what I will say is this. There are some people that truly care. And there are some people that are literally just making a buck. And it hurts even more when it is something you love. It's like the Larry David thing. It's like you don't respect wood. do you? That's what it feels like. And again, I'll have this conversation maybe in an after show in a few weeks. But, you know, it really to me, and I'll talk to you about it after the show, yeah. Of like, wow, really? You didn't think this would be a problem? That type of stuff. And it's just like the ignorance of, and we're going to just like keep being done. It's just aggravating. It's aggravating. Being said, starting my new gig. And that's why I say culture is important. Got a great culture over there.
Yeah. Speaking about culture, how's the car culture in Gran Turismo 7?
What a segue, good sir. let's get right into it. Gran Turismo 7.
So let's start the baseline here. You and I, we're not the sim racing people.
Nope.
I think I can speak for you in the fact that, like me, you'd much rather an arcadey fun time like Forza Horizon or Burnout back in the day.
Right.
Need for Speed here and there. Like that kind of arcadey fun. Is Gran Turismo 7 overwhelming for you as more of an arcade racer person or a normie not in the car culture? Or is it like, does it help you ease into it, I guess?
110%. This game, hear me out here.
Yeah.
Feels a little bit like Animal Crossing.
Oh, so like a job.
Kind of, sort of. It like the central hub. You're in this hub and it's like this is Gran Turismo world. We only care about cars. This is it.
Yeah.
And so first and foremost, this is a sim racer. And to preface this, I want to lean into this one point first. It is okay to really like Gran Turismo 7, but also realize that Forza is the king of racers and it is prettier.
Now, Forza Horizon.
Forza Horizon and even Forza 7 is prettier than this game.
Really?
Yep.
Everything we've seen from Gran Turismo, I have not played it yet. It looked gorgeous. So what's the matter with it?
The cars look great. It's everything scenery? Else. The scenery looks very flat. That being said, it doesn't take away from the racing portion, because Gran Turismo 7 to me is going to be a game that I'm going to keep on coming back to get a little bit of serenity. It's really peaceful. It's really kind of zen, at least to me, because I'm not expecting to be in first, nor does the game expect you to be in first all the time, right? So, you know, it really takes you step by step into each one of these cars, every aspect. So it's like they'll give you hatchbacks first, right? The small little cars. Yeah. And they'll talk about what makes these cars tick, why they're so popular, and you know, the aerodynamics of them.
So that's the whole thing that they touted of, like, learning the history and celebrating the history of cars.
Yeah, immediately you know that this game is being made by car people. Mm-hmm. Like this is a love letter to the automotive industry, for sure. Before even it being a fun video game, they're like, we want you to come away with something. This is a museum for cars. And they do a really great job respecting not just the history, but showcasing things to you step by step of what individual part does what they need to do and how it's going to improve your vehicle. And the one thing right off the bat that this game teaches you is, like, you don't need to buy a car. Like, just to do better in a race. Sometimes you just need to tune up your car a little bit. And it'll really hold your hand while you're doing that as well. The racing is stellar. It really does feel like, and I'll say this, Forza, fast cars go vroom. And they all kind of do feel alike at the end of the day. Right? Mm-hmm. Some cars may turn a little faster, this, that, the other thing. Every single car here feels different, and it demands your attention to learn. So some don't turn on a dime, some do. You can tune your car to help make it turn a little bit better, but every car has its own specific job to that car, and I really, really dig that. So, like, they'll literally this car is really meant for straightaways. It can't really do, you know, those breakneck turns, and, like, you have to learn that. So there is something some type of finesse you need in order to do some of the racing stuff, but it really does do a great job of holding your hand. Even if you're new to this, it doesn't mean you need to be an expert.
Okay.
Yeah.
Does that tuning stuff ever become overwhelming? Because I remember the seeing the screen of it, and there's just, you can tune everything on a car.
Yeah.
And no. It doesn't, and does it tell you, give you a good idea of if you, let's say, lower the air pressure in a tire? I don't know.
Yeah.
Will it tell you what that does for your overall car?
Yes. It'll pretty much be like, here's what this wheel does, here's what this does. Lower the suspension, it's going to give you, you know, less resistance and all that for smoother tracks or whatnot. Yeah.
Have you messed around with, like, some of the modes?
Not many. I'm still rather new or fresh into it. I've been playing with Scapes, the photo mode.
Oh, yeah.
Holy How is it? Shit. It's
pretty good, right?
Yeah. It's nice.
That's really cool.
It just makes me jealous of, like, seeing people who are really good at, you know, at photo modes, and me just being like, here's a car and I hope I got the lighting right.
Yeah, is the composition, does it work here?
More contrast, I guess. Yeah, but but even then, they show you and they hold your hand doing it. They're really meticulous. They really want you to play the game that they made the way they made it, right?
Cool.
Yeah. Lastly, I do want to just say DualSense.
Yeah.
Feels fucking good, guys.
Nice.
Listen, I'm cussing on this show. I'm letting it loose.
It's a Patreon show. It's a Patreon
show, okay? Yeah. Jesus. I still did it. But yeah, no, it's really fun. It's really good. The DualSense, it feels like you're stepping on a pedal. Ooh, it feels like you're braking. One of the really cool things it does is... And Adam touched on this in our review discussion, is like the when you're gripping onto the pavement, you feel it like gripping, they really get the sensation of tires on the ground rather well. Nice. And you could tell when you're screeching as well, not by just the sound, but how it rumbles. I really like it. I dig it a lot.
That's awesome. Yeah. Maybe one day I'll pick it up. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, I just want to get the DeLorean, and I think I'm set.
Yeah, right. Once you find it, you'll tune it till it's perfect, and then that's your car.
Yeah, I just hope the DLC down the line, they give me the Back to the Future DeLorean, but I will do with what I have. I don't know if,
does Gran Turismo do like those kind of tie-ins?
I don't think they do.
Yeah.
Also, DLC. I forget who asked this on the show, but they're like, I think DLC is going to be a problem. I'm like, maybe. Microtransactions are awful, and people need to speak up on them. A $5 car in sport costs $40 in this game. It's atrocious.
Whoa!
Now you can earn every car in this game, but who gives a shit? If you have that option, it's that atrocious. Jesus.
$40 for an in-game car?
Yep.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. All right, Polyphony.
I see you.
I don't know if that's a good idea.
It's also about the cash culture.
Yeah, for sure. Speaking about culture, social media game culture.
Oh.
Seems like everyone and their grandmother are talking about this old ring. You know, and I, for one, am kind of all about it. I'm having a good time. I rerolled the character. I started with a confessor because I thought maybe magic would be the way to go.
Yeah.
And then I realized I wasn't really using magic all that much. And so I just kind of restarted the whole game after maybe 6 hours with that character.
Yeah.
And I'm a vagabond.
Okay.
More up close and personal kind of situation.
Yeah.
And I restarted yesterday on Sunday. And I put in like 9 hours.
Yeah.
And I followed the good old YouTube videos of where to go and to get powered up and the runes that you need. The ashes of war, the spirits, everything you might need to make it a bit easier for non-hardcore Souls fans like myself. And since that point, I'm having a great time. I took down the dragon before we started recording.
Ooh-wee.
The main dragon in the lake. Yeah. No spoilers.
Oh, man, you're still in Limgrave. Oh, Jesus.
Oh, no, I've bounced all over, Joe.
No, Kyle. What you think?
Joe. I've gone everywhere.
Kyle.
Joe, I've gone underground.
No, there's still more.
You're crazy.
I am not. Because, Kyle, like, literally, I understand what our good friend Ains of the show is saying. He's like, you're still in Limgrave. You haven't experienced anything. I'm like, I've seen Khaled. He's like, nope, not even scratching the surface. I'm like, I've been to the lake. It's like, I've done it all. Not even close. And let me tell you something. There are at least 3 or 4, possibly 5 other areas.
Jeez.
And that's not even discussing what other things are down in that underground area.
Yeah, it's nuts. There's a lot to do. For me, I still wish there was a little bit more sense of go do this. Yeah. Here's some cool people to go talk to. I for one, I said on last week's main show, I kind of wish there were some question marks. Just some, not a lot. Just to kind of go and investigate. Just because I feel like I'm hitting all the greatest hits.
Yeah.
I'm going to the places I know. And when I get too far and nothing is happening, I'm like, well, let me turn around. Maybe I missed something in an area that I've already been to. And I'm also the type of person that I want to see every single thing a game is offering me. And I feel every single second I'm playing this game is going to be a losing battle. I don't think I will see everything that Elden Ring has to offer.
Nope.
And that bums me out. Because I like to see everything a game has to offer.
There will be secrets years.
Yeah.
That we will be uncovering. Okay. I talked about on the other week's show that I feel like I'm playing my game of the year. Mm-hmm. This is my game of the year. Horizon, I love you so much. You are in, it doesn't diminish you. Because you're stellar, and I do prefer the way that open world is set up.
Yes.
But there is nothing like Elden Ring. To me, this world, it clicked for me the other day. I was like, this is truly the best open world I have ever experienced, because that discoverability keeps on popping. There are still... Kyle, I am 40-plus hours in this game. I don't even think I'm halfway through this game, and it doesn't deter me one way or the other. I'm still going, whoa, 40 hours in, and that's powerful. You know, sure. The one thing though that you mentioned, and that I see the discussion on Twitter is equally toxic, is the listen, this isn't the 60s.
Equally 70s. As toxic. What are you talking about? I'm also toxic in what I'm talking about?
I'm sorry.
Oh, you're like equally as toxic.
Sorry. No. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that. Okay. I don't know what words I was trying to get, but I got those instead. That Twitter is being toxic about is the lack of journal, the lack of quests. And they're like, this is what a game would look like if it was an Ubisoft game. They're showing all the things on the side.
Yeah.
Cool. Let's just mock accessibility a little bit, guys. Like, what if you need that? Uh-huh. Who cares? I also love...
in Ubisoft games, you can take that off the screen.
Yes. You can take it all off
the screen. They have options to do that.
Yes.
I think that's a stupid thing to bring up.
It's a stupid thing to bring up. It's really immature, and it goes back to the review scores of like 97s. Like, I am so... I'm going to try to stop myself every show, and I'm like, if I were to give it a score, I'm not going to give it like a numbered score anymore, because to me, it's like Elden Ring is one of the best games I've ever played. Hands down, it is now, when I beat it, it will be my favorite From Software game. It's going to dethrone Bloodborne,
okay. Right?
But there are problems with that game. Like, yes, the journal. Now, there are some times where I'm like, oh, I remember that this person is for a quest that I need to do here. But sometimes I do something that is a little bit far ahead, and I feel like, uh-oh, what if I just messed up this quest that maybe I was supposed to get to, and this was the end game?
Yeah, I similarly had some where very early on, there is a witch that shows up in the first church.
Yes.
I missed that. And I started freaking out that I will never get the bell in order to summon the spirits.
Yeah.
That is such a huge part of this game. And I started freaking out. And then I looked it up online and I had to do all these other things to get to the round table, which is your hub. And then you can buy it from a merchant in the round table, which I appreciate that it's not gone forever.
Yeah.
But I still hope that that NPC, yes. I didn't ruin everything that she has to offer.
No, she's integral.
Okay. Okay. Thank God.
Yes. You are fine.
But that's the thing though. Mm. The fear of me missing out on an NPC just because I wasn't in the right place the right time. And there's no way of knowing if I'm in the right place or the right time.
There,
it's a bit of a bummer.
There's a quest that I'll break up in threes. Mm-hmm. Make sure you get a notepad out there and write down what locations they'll be at, because I forgot where one of them are. That's a problem. I'm sorry. That's a problem. That's a mistake. And it, like, to me, it's like you could fix these issues without it throwing anything into the UI. Like, you can literally just make the journal another thing when you pause the screen and it still be cryptic, but at least you go, like, meet, you know, Jacob in Limgrave. Limgrave's just one big area, so you know that Jacob's going to be there somewhere. Like, you can still be cryptic. From Software knows how to do that. There are times where this game is way too cryptic. And when we're complaining about it, it's a small error to me. It's a small little ding. Because, like, the overall game is like, it's fucking beautiful. Like, the whole game is amazing. It's just like we have this one, like, this one little problem, and like the defenders come out of nowhere, and it's just like, no, you're the problem. We don't need this in their game. I'm like, well, I need it in this game.
Yeah,
I've been playing these games since a good old Bloodborne. I need this. And there's no, and if it's just an option, you don't need to go ahead and throw it at me, man. You know what I mean? Like, if it is just like a little, if it still is cryptic and it's still just in a pause menu and it's not flooding your eye. Just as a quick, like,
little reminder.
Yeah.
Like, hey, this is a thing.
That's it.
If you want to explore it further, here's a list of things that are, like, you know, you can do.
Yeah.
That are available.
It's really annoying to me. It's really I thought the, like, easy mode conversation was going to get to me more than this. This is annoying because it really does feel like any little complaint that I may have on it, I'm the problem. What? Mm-hmm. No, I'm not the and I'm like, half these problems don't even affect me. Like, they're affecting your enjoyment and like Luke's enjoyment, and you guys are still loving it. But you're like, yeah, I would like this here. And they're like, no.
Would I love the ability to open the map and then hit the same button to close the map? Absolutely, sure. I would. Not bring up another pop-up box that shows me more instructions.
I will say, the whole pausing the game thing,
uh-huh,
I don't get that controversy. I think it's dumb.
The pausing thing?
Yeah. There's so many grace points everywhere. You should have the area cleared. They're like, how the AI work, it's like, you don't need the pause thing there. And I think what From doesn't want you to do is enter a boss fight and go, oh shit, let me pause and then look up the guide. They want you to be in it and experience it at the very least first. And then you could go on and do your little thing.
Yeah. I think that whole thing is at the low end of the totem pole.
Yeah.
Cause I can see why they wouldn't put in there, even though I have succumbed to many deaths because I couldn't pause the game.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, like, you know, they yell for me to upstairs.
Right.
And I can't pause it while I'm in the middle of a fight. I'm obviously just going to die and lose all my runes and hope to God I get back and get them back again.
Yeah.
Because I'm still at the point of worrying about leveling up, which is another whole little kind of gripe that I have with it. I feel like I'm not getting enough runes. If I'm totally honest, at least where I am in Limgrave.
We can fix that for you easy.
I know. I tried the boulder trick. That was, I didn't
No, it's not. It's not the boulder. There's something even more magical.
I went and killed the sleeping dragon. I took the 3 minutes to just hack away at the damn thing.
Okay.
So like, I'm at level 40, but I still feel like I can be even higher.
Now, what boss are you on?
I did kill Margit.
Okay.
First try.
Nice. Good on you.
Because I, again, in the YouTube video where it showed me to go wherever.
Yeah.
Spoilers, I guess. If you want to find this person on your own, I'll give you, I don't know, a minute. You can skip ahead a minute and you'll be totally fine. I found Patches.
Oh, yeah.
In a cave.
You kill his ass? No.
So you fight him halfway through.
Yeah.
And then he asks for your mercy, and you can just stop, and then that fight will end. You go rest at a grace point. You come back, and he becomes a merchant. And he sells you a shackle of omen or something that you can use against Margit, and it will basically bring him down to the ground and lock him for a few seconds so you can get in, get a few hits. And you can use it twice in the battle.
Oh, nice.
And because I went out of my way and got the bloody slash Ash of War, I would just go in, hit him with the bloody slash, add the blood effect to him, and then back away and let my jellyfish kind of like pop him
nice
from far. So it wasn't too bad, but if I didn't have that, I had no shot. He's too quick.
I am playing Sekiro in Elden Ring.
You have the samurai stuff, right?
Yeah, dude, I am a samurai. I just got I'm gonna get canceled for this. I think it's like the Nabajiga or something like that.
Okay.
It is arguably, what I found out, is arguably the best samurai sword next to a legendary that I really want real bad, because it's literally, I won't say it.
Okay.
Yeah, fuck it, I'll say it. It's Melina's like wrist weapon. It looks really cool. Melina's the chick in the trailer with the long ass sword. You could get that in the game.
Oh, okay.
That's not a spoiler. That's literally an item. Okay. It's Bloodborne. You kill the boss, you get their weapons too.
Yeah.
Boo. That's not like I'm telling you the location. I don't know where it is. I just want it. So yeah, I got that. And what this sword is, it's faster than the Uji Katana. It is the one you start off with. It's a bit more powerful. It scales a bit more, and it's almost double the length. So like the reach on this thing is incredible. The reach on this thing will make you see God. So I was like, I knew midway through the game, I was like, I'm not going to upgrade the Uji Katana anymore, because I know I'm at a point with this weapon, I need to replace it with something else. And I found this something else, and this thing just shreds.
Yeah.
Just shreds. I want to get the blood slashes as well, like you, because this thing's bleed is incredible. And the quest line that you get the blade from is really cool. Really cool. But again, it gets a little bit too vague, and I looked it up on YouTube. Oh, no.
Yeah. Oh, no. Yeah.
So, you know, to me, that illustrates my problem with the game. But at the same exact time, holy shit, everything is amazing. Kyle, I thought Sekiro had the best boss fights. I thought, looking back on it, I really dig Sekiro more than Dark Souls 3. You can fight me on it, I don't care. It really dances up there with Bloodborne for me. I really love Sekiro. The boss fights in this game do such a great job of giving you a taste of bosses you may have fought before, but in such a way that it just feels so epic and different. So there are some boss fights from Demon Souls they throw in here, mixed with Rom the Vacuous Spider.
Ooh.
And I'm like, oh, I've been here before. Oh, I know how to do this. And for the most part, most of the boss fights are just epic. I save it for all the cinematics. You know, Rennala is still my favorite boss fight so far. And that whole area. There's an area, guys. It's the closest thing I'll ever get to Bloodborne 2, made by From Software. It is beautiful, and it's mixed with Hogwarts. I feel like Hogwarts.
I got mistakenly transported there once, and I backed out real quick.
Dude, it's like Hogwarts minus the transphobia mixed with Bloodborne. That's a good joke. That's really good. Mixed with Bloodborne, and I'm like, oh my god, I actually want to... It actually made me interested in Harry Potter, because I'm like, I'm digging this aesthetic. I'm in love with, like, I'm just infatuated. I'm thinking about it constantly. Like, me and my boss literally talk about, you know, the things that we've been doing and the things we've been seeing and trying to help each other out. It's mm-hmm. like, it really is, it takes notes from Breath of the Wild and goes, all right, so we see what you did here, Nintendo. We're going to up the ante. And they up the ante on this thing. Mm-hmm. Every nook and cranny is something different. And it really blows your mind of like, how did they make this in like 4 or 5 years? And how are they going to top it?
Yeah.
Because it is.
Do you see yourself playing this all year?
Yes.
Like all the way up until we do trophy rewards?
Yeah, I'm going to get the platinum in this game.
Yeah. I want to try, but I don't know.
There's thunder and lightning, so I may.
Oh, I hear it. Yeah.
Like, I know it's going to be at least 160 hours, but this is a game I'm going to be playing all year until I get it. I love it that much, just like how much I love Horizon as well. I'm going to platinum that game.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So because I played 9 hours of Elden Ring on Sunday, I didn't play any Horizon. Because mm-hmm. What I have been doing is a couple hours in one, hop over a couple hours in the other. But man, Joe, Horizon Forbidden West is a phenomenal, phenomenal video game. And I am so impressed. Mm-hmm. By Guerrilla taking what they've learned from the first one and just making everything turned up to 11. Especially every single interaction you have with an NPC.
Yeah.
A side quest, the other characters in the game. I'm floored. They really took that criticism from the first game. It was like, oh, really? Well, look at everything we've done in here. And it's not just from a visually pleasing standpoint. Is every single character that has lines and has a quest or whatever is meaningful.
Yeah.
And it's acted and performed extremely well. I had a great time in the Daunt for 15, 14 hours, whatever it is. I'm having so much fun now going west now that I'm in there in the Tanakh territory.
Yeah.
I'm floored. Absolutely floored.
I am halfway through this game. I did not expect this game to go the places it did.
Yeah.
And the places it seems like it's going.
Uh-huh.
Where now, like, sky's the limit, man. Like, anything could happen at this point.
Yeah.
And when it takes those, you know, when it takes those, like, deviation of what you think it's going to be, like, when it does that, when it takes a fork in the road type of thing, it's like, mm-hmm. you're doing this, and uh-huh. you're just somehow down for it.
Yeah, like, there is a very. I'm not going to spoil it here because I want it to be experienced by you if you haven't experienced it yet. There are cauldrons again, like in the first game.
I'm going to close my window because it is raining.
Yeah, absolutely.
Keep talking.
Oh, yeah, I got you. There's a cauldron in this one where something happens where people show up where I don't know how to accurately explain it. I had no idea this could even happen. And it has so many implications for lore, and I'm sure we'll figure out as we keep going in this game what those people are here for. I'm just telling everyone about the cauldron where people show up and has such big lore implications, and I'm very curious as to who they are, how they are.
Yep.
And what where is this going? Like, that is so exciting.
What's their mission about?
Exactly.
Yeah. And it's that moment where I'm like, you also see drastic art style changes.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just like, all of this somehow fits. Like, all of it fit. Like, everything in this game, they do such a great job of, again, like, all these different, you know, cultures that we see from, you know, hundreds, thousands of years back, how they implement it into this game is just incredible. Like, you see...
Yeah, can we really quickly
just
appreciate Plainsong?
Oh, my God, yes.
Gorgeous. Plainsong is a settlement, a town.
Yeah.
And it's just...
It's Bug's Life.
Yeah, it's drop-dead gorgeous. And there's a certain part where they have their leaders who are called the Chorus.
Yeah.
And as you're in that area... They're just singing. It's beautiful. And I'm like, I could just stay here all day.
Yeah.
I'm having a great time.
And you hear them like chanting and like singing, and you're just like, it seems just so beautiful and so tranquil. And I am so sorry if you could hear the rain.
The water. We can't control Mother Nature.
Yeah, we can't control. But wow. You know, it's really good though that we are getting this type of rain because goddamn, we need it. Uh-huh. Oh, but this violent? All right. Settle down. Don't
Another thing I'm super excited about in this game, all the new machines that you fight are so... So the first game, you had to strategize a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, for Thunderdraws, you kind of knew what you had to do.
Yeah.
But this one... Almost every machine, even the lower end ones, like the weaker ones, there's some crazy amount of strategy you have to do.
Yeah.
To avoid their attacks, to get the right angle, to hit the components off. Like, I fought my first Shell Snapper, which is the giant turtle that was in one of the trailers.
Yeah.
One of my favorite boss fights, hands down.
Yeah.
It was so much fun. And he was huge. Absolutely huge, shook up the whole screen. I don't know how they do it.
I fought something that I legitimately can't tell you. It's a spoiler.
Okay, yeah, please.
But it blew my mind that it made so much sense.
Oh, cool.
Really, like, yeah, the enemy design, it's more than now, you know, in the first game was just like, just knock armor off. But there's so much different things to it now. You can knock off armor, and that's great. And you'll need that to craft certain things now, more than like, just to get to the underbelly. Mm-hmm. But now it's like, if I shoot this, it's going to do a chain reaction, and it's going to paralyze my foe, and I could get in there with my spear and stab it in the chest.
Or take away this deadly attack that's kicking my ass if I take out this part of the machine.
Exactly. Or I could go shoot at this part that's vulnerable to, like, poison. That's when it does shit like that, that's where the game gets really... really interesting, because when they start mixing it up and adding all different types of, you know, robo animals in it, then you're like, you got to do a little bit of 4D chess.
Yeah.
But then when, like, you fight the big, big kahunas, I'm talking like your Tremor Tusks. Whoa, God, what a fight it is. It is so cool. It feels epic. And the one thing that I applaud this game for doing that Elden Ring doesn't at times is when you're fighting those big animals, they don't just glitch out. They don't do stupid shit. Sometimes in Elden Ring, like when I'm fighting a dragon, it'll just disappear. And I'm like, are you coming back? And it's like, nah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, have fun. In this one, it does a really great job. And in, like, the Tremor Tusk will break shit around the world. So it's, you know, it'll go through a wall. Mm-hmm. No problem. It's a daunting and really threatening foe.
And even though on the smaller scale from the big machines or any of the machines, first game fighting humans.
Yeah.
Was like so simple. Just stay far away, pick them off. Done.
Yeah. Yeah.
This one, they've added armor that you have to take off if you want to do massive damage. You build up, I forgot what it was called, the blue orb of energy that you can shoot that does extra damage. I forgot what it is in the game.
Let's just call it your focus.
Sure. Yeah. Those human enemies are tougher this time around, and those fights are fun. I still prefer fighting the machines, but it is nice that there is still a challenge to them.
Yeah, I think they're going to get humans right in the third one, because I still don't think they got them right. I'll be honest. Like, throwing some robots and creatures in there is definitely changes it up a bit. But it's still like, all right, so I'll just shoot you in the head a couple more times.
And then I'll get
And still, the one critique that I do have on this game is, though melee is a lot better, there's still a lot of work to be done there. There's still improvements to be made, because it still does feel like I'm just mashing one button. And it's a lot easier said than done, for sure. But sometimes my attacks don't hit like I feel like they should be hitting when I'm coming in close with a melee kill.
I do appreciate the combo where you do the light swing twice, and then you hold down heavy, and Aloy jumps on the human, and then jumps into the air, and then you can like slow-mo aim and do some extra damage.
That's the one thing. That's
super fun.
And maybe it is just the way I'm playing, because this game offers so much.
So much. A lot of skill trees.
Yeah, I think there's like 5 or 6 skill trees.
Uh-huh.
Like, there's one where it's like you're a trapper, and you just make traps. Traps are cheaper and faster to make.
You got stealth. You got warrior.
Stealth, warrior, archer.
There's a machine-based skill tree where it's all about overriding machines and using them as friends.
Machines are friends, not foes.
Not food. I'm very excited that it's here finally. I'm loving it. I just gotta find the energy to sit down and play it. But I'm savoring it a little bit.
Yeah, I'm savoring it as well. So like, you know, the only thing that kind of does suck, I do need to beat it this week. But I do feel like I could beat it and not feel like I have to beat it. And like just beeline it through the story. But to me, I'm going through the paces of it, and I'm really enjoying how beautiful this world is.
Oh, gorgeous.
How dense it is. And how, you know, Aloy's gonna save this for the stash. Which they
I miffed. Didn't I that didn't bother me at all. I didn't really notice
it. I got like a chuckle at the most. It didn't annoy me as much when people are like, oh, she's whispering like what's his face. I'm like, well, the difference between her and Deacon St. John is that she's likable. So she and it's like, to me, I'm like, they're like, how much does this girl talk to herself? I'm like, she's alone like all of the time.
Do you not also talk to yourself when you're alone and doing stuff?
Monologues?
Do it all the time.
Yeah. You not say that I'm going to save this for the stash every time? I'm like, I'm full.
Every time I do.
I had Subway today and I saved half for my stash. You know?
Shout out to you, Joe.
Why?
Because I was playing it on
performance.
Yeah, performance. Yeah. 60 frames, which was great. But you were like, I want to see this in all its glory for how beautiful this game is. And I was like, I tried that, but it was hard to get used to it. I switched it back to fidelity 30? Mode.
Yeah.
And then I closed the game and reopened it. Didn't notice any stuttering or anything issues, so I'm enjoying it in all its glory.
Yeah.
Still stopping every 10 minutes or so and taking pictures, because
nonstop.
There's not one non-photogenic thing in this entire game. Everything is worthy of getting pictures.
Yeah, everything. The game is drop-dead gorgeous, man. Like, I can't... that open world is, to me, like...
It might be my favorite open world. I know you just said Elden Ring and stuff, but like...
Still Elden Ring. But I think this game is in my top 5. I think, like, to me, just because I dig this world more than The Witcher, it would be better than The Witcher. For me, because I dig this more. Because I dig the game more. That being said, I did I do want to stress on this, and it's nothing to do with the game, just the conversation always, because I was in one of Sean Capri's streams, and I was feeling and sounding like a defender of this game. But
of Horizon?
Yeah, because I truly mean this. Everybody's like, oh man, Elden Ring came out. That means Horizon's dead. It's like, no, this game sold really well. This is a, like... This game sold 20 million units compared to Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild that sold 25 million units, I believe. That was the number I was given. And Horizon was a new IP.
Yeah.
And what it did in its first 5 days, the original, the sequel did in the first three.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it just because people aren't talking about it on Twitter or aren't talking about it as much on Twitter does not... It doesn't compute to that's how it's actually being portrayed in real life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think we got to get over this mentality of social media in itself going, this is the quote unquote conversation. Because I need to stress this, just like how Dave Chappelle said it. I know people have his thoughts. I agree with some things, don't agree with others. You could do that. We could be dynamic. But Twitter's not a real place. It doesn't really exist. You were speaking in echo chambers. Horizon's going to be fine. Gorilla's going to be just fine. This game's going to sell another 20 million units and get a movie deal. So, like, let's settle with the, like, oh, let's I feel bad for Horizon. Really? Do you feel bad? They didn't have to crunch on the game. They made the game that they were passionate about. It's doing well financially for them. They're going to probably get to make another one.
Yeah.
Is that not what you want at the end? Like, why does it always have to boil down to this game got an award and this game didn't?
Yeah, it's pitting games against each other.
I'm getting over it. Like, I'm really over this concept. Like, I'm really just, like, I'm over this whole idea of, like, winner-loser. It's really dumb. Both games are excellent, and you can enjoy one or the other or both of them.
Yeah.
Just... Like wild. The game.
Wild to think about. You can enjoy all games.
I know.
At the same time.
It's nuts, dude. Also, can I say one thing to get us back on track that is Horizon?
Yeah, go ahead.
The weapons in this game. There's way more of them.
Way more. I feel like I haven't found my one yet.
Yeah.
My go-to. Like, I still have, like... The leveled up basic hunter's bow. It doesn't do a lot of damage, but that's all I have right now.
Yeah, that'll change late game so much so that I'm like, hey, game, could we just like slow this down just a little bit? Just a little bit.
Just a little bit. Just a little bit.
The armor sets as well. So the one thing that I do like about this game is like, hey, instead of it being in this chest you found, because that really wouldn't make much sense, right? What if it's just like there's a reason to go to this town? Right, there's a reason to go to this hub, and you'll buy your bow and arrow. You'll buy your bolt caster, which is just so awesome in this game. And like the spears that you have, you could just hook them and chuck them. Oh,
I love those.
Holy shit!
The
dope.
Well, again, I'm trying not to spoil anything, but there's a cauldron where a Triceratops machine you fight. I used the javelin exclusively, and I killed him very quickly because that javelin is so cool.
Yeah.
Everything about it is awesome. There's something else I wanted to bring up, but it's just
the armor sets are beautiful.
Armor set, yeah. And I'm a big fan of picking up flower dyes to change the color a little bit so that my alloy is different from everyone else's alloy.
Yep. There is a reason to forage and pick up and interact with everything. They give you a really good reason to do all those things. They make fighting the beasts as difficult as you want them to be or as easy as you want them to be in terms of like how you fight them, like how you pick off the armor and how you collect things from them. That's what I wanted to get at there. The open world is beautiful, and like the side quests are just, I've never gotten one where I'm like, yeah, I'm not into this.
Mm-hmm.
Like every single one I've been into.
Yeah.
And sure, like some of the performances may not be the best, but you just get lost in the facial animation, Kyle.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's like, fuck, is this a goddamn video game? What is, what? It's like I'm staring at this person's soul.
Yeah, man.
It's gorgeous.
Horizon's real good, everybody. That's the point we're getting at. It's real damn good.
If you have a PlayStation 5.
Or 4, for that matter.
Or 4. It still looks very good.
Yeah.
But still, wait for it on 5. Get it.
No, buy 4, you'll have it on 5.
Sure, but like, okay, so the difference between 4 and 5, I think, is apparent.
Okay.
Because I think the lighting is just so much better.
Oh, five. Yeah, I'm not saying 5 isn't the way to go, but I'm just saying, if you have a PS4 and you don't have a 5, you can still buy it.
I could just see that thing explode.
I mean, like, it didn't explode for Last of Us Part 2 or Ghosts.
I mean, but there's a lot here. Like, there's sure. A lot. There's a lot.
Yeah,
man, Horizon is just excellent. Elden Ring is phenomenal.
We're in a good place with awesome video games.
We're so good. Now, okay, here's a question, since we're wrapping up the show here. Can I be honest? We've had a really great, audience, tell us, this was a really good flowing show.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
I think the show flowed excellent. And you're doing the do? What is this?
Bad decision. It's 9:20 at night. This is the only cold thing I had in the fridge.
Don't you hate that?
Now I'm going to be up. I only slept for maybe 4 hours last night because I have issues with my bed. Oh. I need one of those adjustable beds. And
yeah. Are you thinking about going in for it?
Yeah. I stopped at Bob's after work today just to take a look at it.
Treat yourself, man.
Yeah, I also need a new couch, so maybe I'll get both.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah, man.
We'll see.
Treat yourself. I know. I feel
like it is an investment just because of how great I'm going to be if I finally get the rest that I need.
Yeah, I mean, it's a
bad. And now wake up with a super dry mouth and bad back because listeners out there, this is like quasi after show.
Yeah.
Or real talk, what it used to be back in the day. I have a lot of indigestion, GERD, as the doctors might say.
They could have named that a nicer thing.
They 100% could have. So at night, I bought myself some wedge pillows, so I'm up a little bit. But even then, it's still not high enough for me. So then I have two pillows on top of each other on top of that thing. And halfway through the night, I wake up and I've slid off of all of those and I'm flat on the mattress. I like wake up and I feel like I'm gasping for air because my tonsils are so huge. Yeah. And
humble brag.
So I need one of those adjustable bed things so I can actually get a good night's sleep.
So yeah, I have one of them. I really dig it. It just, again, that remote eats up battery. So like what I've done is like I set it. Well, first off, the one thing I did with this bed, don't touch it for 12 hours once you get it.
Don't touch what?
Like, if you get like a memory foam, you cannot touch it for 12 hours. You'll fuck it up.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. It needs to.
Like physically touch?
Like, don't lay down on it.
Oh.
Yeah, okay. That being said, though, that remote's going to eat all your batteries. So make sure you set it and then you forget it. Yeah, this is what I want, or like just get rechargeable ones. I don't know. Whatever floats your boat. That being said, Kyle, what's next in March?
What is next in March? I mean,
you got Tiny Tina's.
We got Tiny Tina's Wonderlands, which I'm kinda in for. I watched a couple previews. It seems like it's Borderlands, which I'm fine with. Okay. I know people love it or hate it. I'm on the love side. I can't wait. I did notice that Greg Miller he's already playing Ghostwire, and that's 2 weeks away.
Real talk, I forgot to request Ghostwire.
So that's a good sign that they're getting Ghostwire so early. I don't know if I'm going to get that day one, but we'll see.
I'm at the point. So I'm actually.
Plus, we also have to play Persona up to a certain point.
Honestly, guys, let's walk that one back. Joe's working two fucking jobs. Maybe we save that one for the summer. Joe's going to fall asleep. He can't right now, guys.
We'll talk about it on this week's show, but Forspoken delay gives us some time.
Yeah. Top games in 2022. Can we stop forget? Like, can we just stop pretending that Kirby's going to be like this thing?
I tried to look up some previews of the demo. Like, yeah, it's fun, but it's way on a smaller scale than what we were expecting. I was like, okay, I mean, I kind of could have told you that.
Kirby's fucking stupid. The whole concept of Kirby is dumb. Let's stop giving Nintendo all these passes, people. Enough. What has Kirby contributed to? I thought Kirby was a one and done for the longest time. Like, oh, this is it's Kirby, you know?
The Game Boy game's real good. Well, I had a good time with that.
But then when I worked at GameStop, I found out they kept on making them.
Yeah,
they did. And somehow people still bought, like, the Epic Yarn. They're like, oh, Kirby's back, and now he's made of fucking yarn. It's like, really? We're excited because they're made out of yarn. Yeah, more like yawn. How about WWE 2K22?
I'm on the fence.
Dude, that game looks fucking rough. Talk about looking at the Elden Ring character creator in this game. Oh my god, they look frightening.
And I think the news today or somewhere that WWE Games is now going to EA. So this will be the last one made by 2K, and the next WWE game will be made by EA, which is just as equally as frustrating because I've lived through Madden, and Madden doesn't get the updates every year that it needs to.
Okay, question. What if we do Shadow Warrior, because it's on PlayStation now?
Okay.
And
we do real bad at those games.
But, like, we're having fun. Like, it's just like, you know, it's like, hey.
Yeah, we'll see. It's too fast for me.
Tiny Tina.
Yeah.
And we'll play together like we say we're going to all the time.
Yeah. Just don't forget about
it. You're not so confident with that.
Like, I know. Because it's in your court, my friend.
Oh, goodness gracious.
Listen, how are you going to carve up time when you play Sea of Thieves and now you got Elden Ring and you got all these other shows you're doing?
I got one other show I do, and I don't even like that show because Luke's on.
No, I would love to. Right. And then I think I'll have MLB The Show early because I pre-ordered it. Ooh-wee. Like 4 days early, so maybe end of March I'll be able to play a little bit.
Okay, see that? So yeah, we'll have another one of these bad boys towards the end of the month. That's something to look forward to. Yeah. And yeah, all right, okay, there you go. We got next month's shows. So Shadow Warrior, Tiny Tina's, maybe MLB The Show to look forward
to. And any smaller games that we end up playing.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously this month has just been taken up by huge games.
Absolutely.
But March is a really good month for indie games, so I might shout out a couple of those at the end of the month.
What indie games are coming out?
Oh, there's A Musical Story, which came out, which looks sad and depressing, but really, really cool.
Jesus Christ.
I like the storytelling.
I want to be sad all the time. You know, I just turn on CNN. I get this feeling in my chest just mentioning Anderson Cooper. It's not like, oh my God, Anderson, you're so handsome. It's like fear. What are you going to tell me next, Andy? We're on nickname terms.
There's a game called Young Souls, which isn't a Souls game, but it's like a action beat 'em up side scroller that looks really cool.
So this Young.
Yeah, Young Souls. Obviously, Tunic.
Oh, shit.
That's not coming to PlayStation, but.
Oh, shit. This looks fucking dope.
Yeah, Young Souls looks cool.
I like the art style.
Mm-hmm.
It's a beat 'em up, huh?
There's a lot of cool things there. There's a lot of games to play. No shortage. Thank you, Patreons. Thank you, patrons, for your support forever and always. This show is possible because of y'all. We love you very much. So until the next time, buckle up and enjoy the ride. We'll see you soon. Bye-bye.